Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, have you had the opportunity to learn from the dying? Maybe they have so much to tell us that we could learn to live better because they are expressing their wisdom at their in their perhaps final moments or just in the journey of failing. There's some insights that people get that they've never had in their lives before, and opportunities to have experienced emotional experiences because of that journey that they can pass on to the rest of us. And there's an incredible book about this. It's called Seven Lessons for Living from the Dying. And I'm so happy to be able to interview the author of this wonderful book, Dr. Karen Wyatt. Karen, thanks for being on Energy Stew. I'm so glad to talk with you.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here with you.
And this is, you've had many, many opportunities, a whole lifetime of working with the dying, right?
Yes.
And you've seen many things that, and heard many things from them that people don't generally hear. Would you say that?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And they want to share?
Yeah, that's what I found sitting at the bedsides of people who were at the very end of life and looking back on their lives. Many of them had so much wisdom, but also just a perspective on life. If you think about it, we don't very often get to look at our lives in reverse and look back on things that have happened. And so a lot of them, though, were having insights and transformations at the very end of life and still learning really powerful lessons, even in the last few days of their lives. So I had the privilege of sitting with them, observing them and being with them as they were going through that process, and then learning for myself from them about what really matters in life.
I remember many decades ago when my mother was dying, and a friend advised me that, you know, just really understand that this is a great growth and learning opportunity for her. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I wondered, it was the first time I heard that, and I went, yeah, well, but, you know, probably not for long because she's going to be gone. So how much can she learn? But our souls, as you've experienced, are moving on. And we talked about actually before the show started that there are many people you've experienced who have had their feet in each side, and on this side and on the other side, and already having visitations from family members who have passed on.
Yes. Yes, that was a really powerful experience, hearing patients talk about seeing their loved ones in the room, having conversations with them, or hearing the voices of their loved ones. And for some of them, it was a matter of seeing light and also feeling this incredible love that was surrounding them. And it was a love that they said they couldn't really describe. It was ineffable. Yeah.
I've heard that too, that a lot of these people, when they're experiencing the other side on their deathbeds, really are speechless about what they're experiencing and say, I don't know how to describe this.
Yeah, it was powerful, but I could actually feel it in their energy, you know, and see
good
it
for you.
And see the transformation that was happening for them, right, being with them. And so that I knew this is something real. This transformation is really happening because I can see it before my eyes. I could see this person in a way becoming more and more their own soul, I guess, visible from their eyes and from their faces.
That's wonderful. And so many people don't understand that. You know, they think it's the darkest time. Mm-hmm. And yet it's dark for many of us because we're not identifying with what they're experiencing.
Yes, and if it's our loved one who's dying, we're experiencing our own grief, you know, at the loss that's taking place in our lives, and it's hard to relate to the fact that the patient may not be experiencing grief. I remember one patient just saying to me, "Is it okay? I'm not sad. I'm not sad that I'm dying. Is that all right?" And I said, "Yes," because she said, "This is actually, it's beautiful." And she said, "I know I'm leaving my children and my husband behind, but this is so beautiful. It's where I want to be."
It's interesting because I've been feeling that opportunity for a long time. And I just don't want to leave my family, you know. And when I get to the end of my life, I'll be very sad that I'm not going to be there for their lives in the future. Even though I think from the other side, we get to witness it all, but we can't interact. And I would feel sad about that. But I think when we get to the other side also, I believe that there's a great cleansing, and the energy is so pure and beautiful that it really helps us transform to that world, that universe out there.
Yeah, I believe that too. And partly I've had dreams. And I don't know if these are visitations or not, but definitely in my dreams, I've had both my parents come to me after they've died. I've had some of my patients come to me in my dreams, and always they're beautiful. They're pure light. They're younger. Their faces, they're much younger than
I had that with my mother.
Yeah.
She visited me. And she was in her 30s. She died in her 70s, but she visited me she was in her 30s. But when she was in her 30s, she actually had buck teeth, although she had them straightened later in her life. And yet when she came to me in her 30s, her teeth were perfect.
Wow. Yeah, that's what my parents were. Everything about them was perfect, but I recognized them for who they were, but they were so filled with joy and love and light. And that was so reassuring to me to see that.
I know it's a great opportunity to have lucid dreams and be able to have those visitations. But let's talk about what you've learned that's in this book, because the 7 lessons for living from the dying that you've broken down into very important understandings about life that helps us actually live our lives better because of this. And I'll just briefly go through them and then we'll come back to it, okay?
Okay.
Suffering, love, forgiveness, presence, purpose, surrender, and impermanence. So each of those have important lessons for us. And yet they overlap so much too. Mm-hmm. But one thing I wanted to focus on with you to start off with actually is the idea of suffering and how hard it is for us to appreciate suffering. That so many people you've worked with have had to experience in extreme ways even, and yet they have wisdom about it that I think is important for us.
Yeah, and this was such an important lesson for me personally, because my whole journey in hospice started after my own father died of suicide. And so I was overcome with grief and guilt around his death, and in the midst of my own suffering, trying to figure out, how will I live with this? How can I keep going with this kind of pain to carry? And so I turned to hospice work, and by immersing myself in death and dying and being with people who were suffering at the end of life, it helped me understand that this is what life consists of in many ways. It's life, it's suffering is built into our lives. It's built in that the people we love are going to die, that we're going to have disappointments and failures and injuries and illnesses and all kinds of things happen in life. And that one of the keys is figuring out, how do we negotiate that? How do we live here and have an understanding of suffering that helps us not constantly feel like a victim, or feel depressed or overwhelmed by suffering, but to actually use it to help us grow.
Well, I think our souls have chosen to come to a very imperfect world for this purpose of working through the struggle of suffering to find light. Somehow, where's an answer? You know, we don't have to call it light. We just want to fix things or make it better. And yet we have to endure the struggle so our souls can grow. And that's what we're here for. Is
that? Yeah, I so believe that our souls come into a physical body in order to experience that kind of suffering, to learn from it.
Who would believe that? You know, I've had so many of my clients say, I would never have chosen this life if I had a choice.
But if you think about it, a soul in the spiritual realm, it's just not the same. If there is any suffering in that realm, it's the physical body is what brings, we have all sorts of ways that we suffer and feel pain in a physical body. And so it makes sense. That's a reason to come here, just so that we have this opportunity to learn and grow from what it's like to be a human on planet Earth.
But I think also on the other side, because there's not suffering, we lose track of how painful it can be. And think, oh yeah, I can deal with it, you know, because out there is none, and we'll come back to where there is none. So we say, oh yeah, I'll take that life and I'll suffer for a while, but I know how short it is and then I'll be back in paradise again. So then we get here, we go, oh no.
Uh-oh, I forgot what this would be like.
Yeah. And so the whole idea though is to have that perspective that we've chosen to live in a very difficult reality, very limited third dimension, that causes all kinds of trouble that we now have to, let's call it, suffer through. So how do we do it better?
Well, I was going to say the thing that helped me survive my dad's death was hearing from these patients that, oh, I'm learning so much. I'm suffering as I'm dying, but I'm learning so much. And it dawned on me, I could learn also. So I look at it, the other lessons in the book are really the ways that we deal with our suffering. And so the first, the next lesson of love is to emphasize love in our lives no matter what we're experiencing. How can I receive more love? How can I carry more love and bring more love into the world? And for me, I viewed that my grief and my loss over my dad's death in some ways hollowed me out, made me a better vessel for carrying love. And that's how I came to see the suffering of grief that I had been through. It was helping me learn how to carry more love and be able to be more loving in my life.
And I think you can do that with these other topics in your book that help you find that love through forgiveness, mm-hmm. and compassion, and you know, and being very present, and the whole idea of impermanence lets us let go of what we're trying to hold on to you know, superficially find our strength, and then say, well, what counts? And the only thing that counts is coming from a place of wholeness that we can then share with others.
Yes, and we live in such a materialistic society that we're being given messages all the time that it's all about how much you own or what you can accomplish or achieve in life. But it was so profound to me that all of my patients were saying, none of those things matter. None of that matters. It doesn't matter what I own or what I've accomplished or what I've done. None of it matters. Right. And I realized that message is missing a lot in our Western society here. So that idea of impermanence came to me through studying some Buddhism, where that's one of the most powerful teachings, right, of that religion.
But there's so much that we learn just everyday life of, you know, of the struggle that we can reframe and into more of this larger, higher place to be, in seeing that, yes, we've come here for this impermanence that we try to hold on. That's why people build castles and fortresses, and you know, how much can they protect themselves? And there is no real protection because nothing else works. That's why Buddha, as Siddhartha, went on his journey, because he did live in a palace, and it wasn't. He saw that you couldn't avoid pain. So then, how do you deal with suffering? And he then saw that you have to hold it differently. And the light he found to hold it was what created Buddhism.
Yeah, and it occurred to me that we really suffer from our ego, from the level of our ego in many ways over the losses that we have. But for our souls, all of this, it's just a classroom. We just came here to learn things. And so no matter what happens to us, it's part of our curriculum. It's just one more course we're taking, I guess, in life.
You're reminding me of what a lot of people tell me that they struggle with about their suffering, is that they don't deserve it. I've earned not to be in trouble. I've earned to have perfection. I've earned to be pain-free. And it's like, well, I don't know how we can earn it. You know, we can trust that we do our best every day, chin up, take the next step, and life will keep, you know, offering growth opportunities.
Exactly. Yeah, that became very clear to me that there's no earning, there's no cause and effect here. It isn't that, oh, if you live this kind of stellar life, you will never have suffering in your life. But that's the ego's attempt to bargain and, you know, barter. Like, I'll do this if I can have this reward for it. But that isn't really how it works.
But we do get benefits that many of us live better lives than many others. And some of us really live in grace and blessings that are different than many other people have. And I don't think we can ever forget them. I mean, I've been blessed with good fortune in my life, along with a lot of pain, but that I know that my soul, you know, needed to deal with its particular suffering, that other souls have chosen maybe even harsher paths than mine. And so, you know, we all have work to do, and some of us have much harder work than others.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It all depends on what did we come here for, in a way. What did we sign up for? And what are we able to learn from the things that happen in our lives? And it's clear the choices we make in life definitely take us down different paths too.
Right. But often the choices are sharing. The choices are, you know, if I'm here to help people, then obviously I'm going to be taken care of in a way that I can keep on helping people.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Especially if you're living at that higher consciousness level where you're in the flow of life, like there's a great abundance there that will serve you as you're on this mission.
Right. And yet let's come back to impermanence, and, you know, whatever we're doing and however proud we are of the good work we're doing doesn't mean that we're going to be struggle free.
Exactly. That's the key lesson that we have to learn, is that we have to know always there will be suffering. There will be losses. There will be grief. There will be pain. That is part of life. And if we stop rejecting that idea or believing we can prevent that from happening, then I think we can accept the things that come along in life, like you said, with greater grace.
Yes. I actually had a terrible time as a teenager when my father suddenly died from a heart attack, who we thought was a very healthy person, didn't have a heart condition, and that we knew of. And since then, I really was conditioned from that to be very fearful of losing people I love suddenly. And it's been kind of a a struggle in my life of fear that the people I love so much might be impermanent. And I had to surrender to their own soul's journeys and their own soul's purposes that have to take them where their souls have to go.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that was a huge lesson for me to learn around my father's suicide death, because for years that all I wanted was an answer. I just wanted to know, why did this happen? And I also wanted to know, was it my fault or could I have changed it in some way? It took a long, long time for me to make peace with that and to realize just what you said. He was on his own path. This was his journey. Yeah. These were his struggles for his life. It wasn't about me. And I couldn't necessarily change his path, no matter how much I wanted to, nor should I have been able to.
Right, and I still suffer from my father having had to die at a young age, and he was such a good person. And that he was, in a sense, we could say he was cheated out of having a longer life with us, and missed the growth of my family and all of that. That yet I think he knows it all from the other side. So I think he's all right about it, but it's just, you know, actually I a few years ago I had a heart attack and actually felt like I was getting close to the way he felt the morning he woke up and didn't make it, and but I did okay and I'm doing fine now. And, but at the time my wife, did some automatic writing and asked, was kind of told that my father wanted to write a message to me. Mm. And he wrote it in there and said, oh, you're so much smarter than I am because you've outlived me by so many decades that, you've been there for your family in a way I couldn't have been there for you. And that was really, wow. Got to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful too.
Right. And I'm so glad that she was able to do that. And so, but these are opportunities. I think the more that we can all learn about our multidimensionality, mm-hmm. The more that we can have tolerance for being in this limited dimension here.
Yeah, and in a way, be fascinated by it, because I'm just endlessly curious about this life on planet Earth and the things that happen and the way things unfold, and figuring out what can I learn from each thing that comes along and how can I use it to grow.
Right, and right now we're all being challenged because of the pandemic, and we don't know what the solutions will be and how this world will turn out from that. Plus there's all climate change. There's so many things going on that are frightening to so many people. Mm-hmm. But yet it was all meant to be. Nothing's out of place. The Mayans 1,000 years ago predicted that our society would implode at this point in time. And it is. But so where do we go? What do we do? How do we learn from this? And I think it is a time of growth, of tremendous change that you couldn't have without disruption. And I think so much in your book is about that, you know, that suffering gives us the opportunity to think differently.
Exactly. That's one of the things that I take comfort in everything that's happening right now, is that it's a tremendous opportunity. And for some people some people are awake now who were not before and can now participate in that opportunity to learn things and grow and transform. So I think there's hope within everything that's happening.
Yes. And it's hard for a lot of people to experience that, because of there's so many threats to our well-being. But we're here to chin up, take the next step, and trust the process.
Yeah, and that idea of presence, of being in the present moment is no matter what's happening all around us, like right here in this moment, you can almost always find something good or something joyful or beautiful in the very moment that you're in.
Yeah, and so this is like, something we should explore more. Maybe in a subsequent show, we could talk more about presence and surrender and forgiveness. Those are, you know, the forgiveness part, I think, is very hard for people. And I think it would be great to for people to hear what you have to say. Also to buy your book. So let's come back to that because we're near in the end of the show. It's 7 Lessons for Living from the Dying, How to Nurture What Really Matters. And your name is Dr. Karen Wyatt, W-Y-A-T-T. How can people reach you? Or
They can reach me through my website is eoluniversity.com, which stands for End of Life University. And I have a podcast and blogs there. And so they can find all of that on the university, on that website and a contact form. And the book's available online or in any bookstore that happens to be open right now. You can at least order it there or get it from Barnes & Noble or Amazon. Online.
I think people should really make a special effort to do that because this book really is helpful to know how to live life better.
Well, it has been my privilege to share this wisdom that my dying patients would themselves have loved to have shared with people. So it's my privilege to be able to pass it on.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah, I love that. Thanks, Karen. Thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's really wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.